It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
So many people hate going out on dates. It's even worse now that people do so much on computers.
Yeah.
But there's a few things that they haven't mastered, and it makes them avoid in-person dating.
Okay.
I want to help you this morning with five things that are important on a date, and they can change how the date goes for you drastically.
Etiquette.
Yeah. Etiquette is actually kind of one of them, Cato.
Yeah, you gotta have good manners.
Yeah. Watch some your of mouth these off. Are gonna be easier than others to change, but all of them are doable, and they could totally change the outcome of your dating and make you enjoy it more.
All right.
The first thing is your manners and how you treat your server.
Oh, okay.
Your date is going to notice that, how you interact with other people. They're going to assume that's how you will interact with everyone over time. And so if you're rude or short with a server, they're not going to have much respect for you, no matter how much you think the other person may deserve it.
For me personally, I like to hear someone say thank you anytime that the server is done, like taking your order, like thank you. And there's so many people, and they don't say anything. And right. I'm like, thank you. I'll say it for them.
Right. They'll ask for extra butter or something, and then that server brings it. They say nothing. I say every time they bring something, and I feel a little odd doing that.
I do, too, because I do it so much that other people are like, wow, I've said thank you 25 times already.
But for me, I'm like, they even take the order. They have not brought anything. It's like, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not like a huge thing. That's what Cato and I both do, too.
Okay, but I'm just saying there's some people that it's almost like they're entitled. Like,
well,
I think the
server is there to serve them, and they assume that they don't need to, but it's never a good idea to act that way.
Just a nice little thing to do.
You never make someone handling your food mad at
That's
you.
That's true also.
All right, keep that in mind.
Yeah. Or even disrespect them.
Exactly.
All right, so manners and how you treat your server, then your clothes. They say make sure they're appropriate. You don't want to be overdressed or underdressed, but if you're going to make that mistake, overdress. Yeah. You can pull off being overdressed far more easily than underdressed, because underdress just makes you look kind of like a slob.
Okay, we kind of mentioned that a while ago about, you know, you should make sure you wear your right shoes and stuff. So, like, when you're going hiking, you don't want to show up in high heel shoes.
Which, again, I've mentioned this before, the women wear high heel shoes and mini skirts to a Greenville Drive game, and I don't get that. I think that's, a little overdressed.
I don't think many guys would consider that a big enough negative to date someone.
They look great.
Well, for the guys, though, I mean, it's hard to, like, dress up in a suit and have that baseball mitt there to catch that foul ball. They just don't go together.
You might spill your beer on you.
All right, here's another one. Pretty easy to manage for most people, but your grooming and hygiene.
Sure.
Obviously, you need to cover the basic shower, brush your teeth and your hair, but there's other things too, like if your nails and beard are trimmed or the fragrance you're wearing. If you just go and expect them to deal with whatever, then you're not likely to get those dates. And if that's you, you can have whatever attitude you want about it, but you're still going to have a lot of failures on the dating scene.
Right.
Most people expect you not to stink, and they expect you to look like you at least have some care about your appearance.
Sometimes it may be a cologne or something that doesn't go well with you. Like, you smell that person's cologne, and you're like, I don't smell good. That doesn't match their personality or who they are.
It smells like my grandma.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to be something that'll be harder for you to determine, because people like what they like, but you need to at least be trying.
Is he got on Old Spice?
All right. Next is a little tougher, your facial expressions. This includes things like making eye contact instead of looking away all the time, and smiling authentically instead of forcing it. So even if you have to force it, make it look authentic.
Okay, that's good to know.
And some people can't hide their expressions.
I know.
I've had people say, I wanted to say something to her, and I'm pretty sure that they knew what I was thinking based on my expressions. And I'm like, you got to have a blank face.
And a lot of times, like, Tom's got a resting biscuit face.
Well,
actually, no, it's just in here.
It's resting chicken finger face.
No, I do have that.
Yeah. And you know what? I'll also say this. So sometimes my kids, they'll tell a joke or something, and I will do a laugh, like it's like a courtesy laugh. And like, oh, Dad, that wasn't real. And they'll call me out. So you need to practice your fake laugh.
Yeah. Oh, believe me, I've gotten good at it.
You
over
don't
the
even,
years.
You, Tom, you've not laughed since 1994.
A real laugh.
Actually, yeah. 97. That's when I got here. And yes, it's one of my coworkers.
Yeah, okay.
They're not funny. Finally, your body language. Oh, this kind of goes with facial expressions, but it's also things like how you walk or sit in your chair. Mm-hmm. Good posture makes you more attractive and signals that you have confidence. So even just sitting up straight, putting your chest out just a little bit for guys and girls, and just looking more confident, making eye contact. Those may be things you have to work at, but you can practice in front of a mirror or with a friend, and that will make a big difference. Because if you're seen as not being confident, most people aren't looking for that. They're looking for someone who is going to be able to go out and brave the world with them.
You know, you're always telling your kids, though, don't you, like, hold your shoulders back when you're walking? Because a lot of times they have those big backpacks, so it's hard for them to hold their shoulders back.
I saw a girl not long ago who was beautiful, but she walked with her shoulders slumped down and slumped over, and I thought, man, she would be so much more attractive if she radiated confidence instead of this beat-down look.
But that's all you see nowadays. Everyone's on their phone, so they're all slumped over.
Well, that's different. Yeah. But when you're just walking along and you're all slumped over, it makes it look like you're depressed or down on stuff.
I might be looking for a penny on the ground.
Well, you need to hold a phone in front of you so it doesn't look like it.
My mom was talking about that because she's a granny, and she's like, I wish I could hold my shoulders up like I used to. I just can't hold them up as much like I used to.
Get her a back brace.
Well, it could be that or a new bra.
I was going to say.
There's some weight right there.
Well, buy your mom a bra.
That just sounds weird.
That's gross.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
Stacey Bartrow's hanging out with us, filling in for Tori while she's on maternity leave.
Hello.
Hey. You know, I want to keep this family friendly, but they've done some research on the average couple over a 10-year time span, what your bed sees over 10 years.
Now, it sees a lot of me.
Yeah. It sees a lot of you because you sleep naked.
Yeah. It knows me well.
I don't want to see that.
Well, don't worry. Unless you come over at night, you won't.
I know.
Okay, so this is what happens. They say about 100 days of streaming or watching something in bed.
That's low.
Yeah, that's pre-bed rot. People bed rot now.
Oh, okay. But you're saying people just stay in bed so long?
You just pull the covers up, lay down, and kick back on the phone.
I guess the only time I will stream something is right before I go to bed. That's about the only time I do anything. I don't lay in my bed most of the time during the day.
Where do you lay?
Like on a couch.
Okay, so you're just doing a different scenario.
Yeah, well, I don't even do that. I'm probably in a chair.
Hmm.
Yeah. Like I'll kick back in a lazy boy.
He's like getting exercise compared to us.
I'm just sleeping differently. Do you stream?
We do, but not in the bedroom.
Oh, okay.
We took the television out of the bedroom because the bedroom is for other stuff.
Okay. What's funny is I have a television in my bedroom. I don't know that we've turned it on in 5 years. It's just there in case. But we
use
the phones.
It's become part of the aesthetic of the room.
Yeah, it looks good.
All right. In 10 years, what does your bed see? 720 arguments between the couple.
That's a lot. I don't know if we have 72 arguments a year.
Okay.
We prefer to do that in the living room because then it echoes and it sounds really big.
I'm not saying we don't argue, but I don't know about 72 arguments a year.
And the worst time is like if it is in bed and you're like, you turn over and you got to face the other direction because you don't want to be facing that person.
I always sleep that direction right now anyway.
You want to do that anyway because you don't want to smell that breath in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or if you have a mirror in the room and then you turn and then you see yourself all red in the face, growling, and you're like, well, I need to calm down.
Oh, okay.
You need to move that mirror.
Yes, you do. Where is that mirror? Like right.
I've got one of those floor length mirrors hanging in there.
That's one thing I would not like that, but I also hate for a big mirror to be in a bathroom and I'm doing my business, looking at myself do my business. I'm like, that's a bad place for a mirror.
Yeah.
I look over and I'm like, is that a roll? Do I have a roll?
Yeah, it's a little humiliating or it brings you back to reality.
Yes.
Okay. They say we spend quite a bit of time on our laptops and phones, about 75 days.
I do. I play the King of Thieves. Yeah. I do that at night before I go to bed.
I haven't tried that yet.
What's King of Thieves?
It's a little iPad game. Well, I have it on my iPad.
But you got to explain the game. Is that where you take over a castle or something?
It's a little little guy who goes in and steals treasure from other people.
What's the difference in doing your playing with your iPad and watching TV in the bedroom? Not a difference.
I'm actively playing the game, and then rather than just sitting there
Right, it's
absorbing.
Not passive, it's active.
Yeah. Well, I'm watching Netflix and actively playing my game at the same time.
Okay.
Okay, you're John.
We see about 4,160 kisses, according to how many they counted, I guess, with these couples they were researching.
So that would be how many a year, I wonder.
4,160 kisses.
I always kiss my wife goodnight and good morning. Mm-hmm. So there's at least two a day in there.
So when you get up as early as you do, you roll over and you kiss her?
No, I kiss her after I take my shower.
Oh, okay.
So I walk out, she's in the bed, I just lean over and give her a kiss.
Yeah.
She wakes up sometimes she doesn't.
And then 240 books are read over 10 years in your bed.
I bet not.
I'm probably higher than that.
I bet not one.
Yeah.
I know. I feel I'm lucky if I get one in.
Mm-mm. Well, and when it comes to women, 11% of women actually sleepwalk. They get out of their bed and start sleepwalking.
Maybe that's how I got this pinched nerve. Maybe I'm sleepwalking at night.
Have you? Do you have a problem with that? Have you ever?
There have been times where, like, I've sat straight up in bed and then I just yell something out, and it scares me, and then I start saying the Lord's Prayer.
Well, 30% of women wake up in the middle of the night.
That's what she did.
Yeah. But when you raise up in bed like the Exorcist and just scream something out, that's going to scare your partner.
No lie. I seriously did that. And I said something like, Satan is trying to get your babies. And I truly freaked myself out.
Well,
I saw that in the Exorcist.
I was going to say, we need to call a priest.
Did your head spin around? That could be that pinched nerve. Your head spun around.
That is exactly how I got it.
And we were talking about the guy sleeping with stuffed animals the other day. 27% of women actually sleep with a stuffed animal of some sort. You have one?
I can say yes. Okay. Yes, I do. I have to sleep with my bear.
What's his name or her name?
Well, it's a boy.
John.
I have my Bear Nuts and my plush bear.
Wow, nice. I think that's too much information.
Okay. Bear Nuts is his nickname, everyone.
Okay.
John's nickname.
Don't ask why.
Yes. What's the name of your stuffed animal?
Bear.
Oh, just bear?
It's my bear.
Okay, that's like the people that name their dog. Not really. Okay.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
How much do you love your pets?
Oh, I love them to death.
Hawk, you didn't really seem to be a pet person until you got Otis, and that seems to have softened you up a bit.
When I was a young kid, I had a lot of dogs, and I loved them dearly. But as something happened, I grew away, and then I got Otis, and yes, he's part of the family.
Okay. And, of course, Stacy, you have cats.
Football team of them, yes.
Really? That many?
Seven.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Well,
and you're married.
Poor John. He just goes with the flow. He's awesome. But three are ours, but then we had three brothers show up, had them all spayed and neutered, went to Greenville County Animal Care, TNR, do that, folks. And then a fourth one showed up, Pika, girl. She was already spayed. TNR. So I just let him sit.
Pika. Yeah.
Okay. I just let him. They live on the back deck.
Wow.
Four of them do.
All right.
But I do let them in the house.
So you got four of them outside and the other three in?
In, yes.
Oh, wow. They're like, why can't we make the cut?
Yeah.
I don't know. They're all talking to each other in the community, though. They're like, hey, you want a good place to live, hang out? Head down here.
Now, Kato, you had a dog, and whenever she passed away, you decided you didn't need to get another one right now.
Because she was not well enough to travel for several years. So I literally went I went nowhere. I was in my house every day. So when she did pass, it was right before COVID. And then, of course, I had to stay home for 2 months. But then I've been traveling too much.
Yeah.
I don't want that responsibility right now, because if you do travel, don't get a pet.
Okay, well, I have had Pomeranians for as long as I can remember now. We're on like our fourth or fifth ones, and we've got a pair of them. And they asked people something pretty in-depth about their pets. They asked them, if they would trade years off their own life to extend their pet's lifespan.
No.
Oddly enough, 56% of people said they would do that.
Oh, okay. You know what makes sense? So because your dog lives 15 years or so, so you take a couple off yours to add to the dog to stay with you a little bit longer.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Now, they did not say whether it was a one-for-one, but it seems like it was. That seems like a bad deal for us.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice if you could give like 1 year and it gave your dog 5 years, but I guess in dog years, that's kind of how it would work out.
Yeah.
That's a tough one, man. I love my pets a lot, but I'm not sure that I'm willing to give them years of my life.
No.
I wouldn't do that because then that would not leave room for the new ones to come and live at our house.
So you're just willing to let them have their time, they're done, yeah. And now I'll get a fresh refill.
Because you know with some other stray is going to show up.
But I will say, so I'm not as much into the stray thing. My bond with one of my dogs, Rupert, he's a little black and tan Pomeranian. He is my dog. Like the other, the gold or the red one is my wife's. His name is Rico and he's cute and I love him, but he's hers.
Mm-hmm.
But my dog, I would think like, okay, if I knew some facts, like how long am I going to live? If I knew I was going to live to 90, I might would trade some years with him. Cause I don't know that those 5 years from 85 to 90 would be all that great anyway. So yeah, okay. I might would be willing to give him a year or two if I knew I was going to live to a super old age.
Now, if I'm giving up my years, does that mean the dog's healthy? Because like I said, Daisy started going downhill and
it's
not
healthy
able to
years.
Travel.
You're willing to give your dog time so that
I don't know, because I think the way my lifestyle is, I'm already counting days here.
Speaking of lifestyle, you know, if you eat hot dogs, you take a couple years off your life.
Oh, I love hot dogs. That's hearsay.
Yeah.
Well, it is interesting that over half of the pet owners said they would trade years off their own life to extend their pet's lifespan. 34% say they intentionally got a pet to improve their mental health. And for nearly all of them, life is better with their pet. Pets do have medical benefits, like when you pet your dog or cat, it lowers your blood pressure. People with animals, I believe, have been shown to have a longer lifespan and definitely better mental health.
And your dog, when he comes home, she's so happy to see you every time. It's like they greet you at the door. They're just ecstatic. Like, how long have you been gone? Almost like you've been gone 12 years.
You know, when I got Daisy, I didn't want a pet. I actually went to look at Daisy from a friend of mine, and I'm like, no. I just don't want – I'm not one to take care of a pet. Well – she had young sons then, and they were just rough playing with Daisy. And I got home, and I'm like, bless her heart, they were playing really rough with her. The next day, I called. I said, come to get her.
Wow.
And that was the best decision I ever made.
Yes, they say that people, before they got a pet, 32% or one out of three of them rated their mental health as an A. Afterwards, that number jumped to almost 3 out of 4.
Yeah.
So they say takes about 5 hours from pets before their owners notice their mental health declining. So if you go away from your pet for more than 5 hours, you start to feel that loss of connection. And some of people even feel it within 2 hours. Like we went on vacation, and during that vacation, I had several times where I'm like, I miss my dog.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, even though we're on vacation having fun, I was thinking about, boy, I wish I had my dog with me.
How about if you're gone from your spouse, though, for a little while?
Woo, salvation.
Not the same reaction. It's like, I need a break right now.
They say your pet makes the average owner smile 11 times a day and laugh about 9 times, which is a big factor in how come people get such a good benefit from them.
Yeah.
Now, Stacey, you have 7 cats.
Oh, I do.
There are signs that you could be way too into your cat. And you might want to watch for these.
Wait, into my cats?
Like, you know, you're too into them. You maybe you're overboard.
Like, like I have a problem. You
well,
can
exactly.
say maybe you have a problem.
Well, I mean, after 2, you should know that yourself.
Yeah, when you say 7, that's a problem.
Well, if you use the litter box and they use the toilet, that is a sign.
I can see Stacey doing that.
You know what, though? My friend, her son was using the litter box.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That is awesome.
That's funny.
Yeah, did she get caught video?
Him. No, she didn't get video. She just caught him, and he didn't do it anymore.
Did he get a new nickname?
Not what I would describe that as.
Hey, cat. Yeah. A new nickname.
Oh, well, when my kid was like young, he would take the dump truck and play in the kitty litter box. And I did catch him doing that.
Excavating.
Yes.
Excavating.
Uh-huh. All right. Signs you're way too into your cat. You don't know your husband's birthday or your kids' names, but you know the exact day and time that you gave that last monthly flea pill.
First of the month, every month.
There you go.
Uh-huh. Whenever your cat starts to clean herself, you say, I got this, and you do the licking for her.
Oh no.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
If you find your leather couch trashed, you scream, bad couch. You don't blame the cat. All you want for Christmas is a laser pointer and a sign that you're way too into your cats. Your name is Taylor Swift.
She got cats.
She's put them on her album covers and stuff.
Or Stacey Bartrow.
Hey, listen. I mean, you're telling me I've got a problem with seven. How many does Taylor have?
I think she has three or something.
Yeah, two or three. She ain't that weird.
I thought I was going to get out of this one.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
And we are about to do Torture Tuesday. Well, we had a Cinco de Mayo party, and we had some extra hot salsa left over, and we thought we'd put some use to it this morning for Torture Tuesday.
Yeah, you know, Cato's got a horrible gag reflex, and he cannot gargle or do anything like that, so we thought it would be so fun to have him gargle extremely hot salsa.
The last time I got my teeth cleaned, some of the hygienists down the hall come up into the room going, we knew it was Cato. I said, you need doors on these rooms.
Yeah.
They need to be soundproof. I said, I can't, when I get x-rays taken at the dentist, they're pretty soon going to have to sedate me.
It's going to be fun this morning. And honestly, this might open up your sinuses.
So, you know, thank you. We have Stacey Bartra, who is filling in for Tori while she's on maternity leave.
Yeah.
She has volunteered to help Cato with this. Because
I feel bad. I gotta help.
She didn't want him to have to do it all by himself.
It was almost as so sad. I'll do it with you, so you won't have to do it alone.
Yes.
So nice.
I know. we'll be gagging together, I'm sure.
You know what? I'll step up to the plate and do it as well. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, might as well. You know, because I feel bad that you have to do it because you're feeling bad because Cato has to do it.
You're dumb. I'm not doing it.
I know. Tom's like, I got the camera. I got the phone.
First time he's not going to eat anything.
Yeah, I know. So it's on Facebook Live if you want to watch it live right now and on the Hawk and Tom Facebook fan page. So here's what we're going to do. We'll let Cato go first with the gargling, the hot salsa. Mm-hmm. And we've got the jar over there, so open it up.
Is it chunky?
It's hot.
No, thank God it's not chunky.
Oh, good.
Oh, it's got a little bit of chunk in it.
May have more after he gets done.
I've not had breakfast. And, you know, I always get the medium.
Oh, well, this is not medium. This is hot.
This is hot, like super hot. Don't drink it straight out of the jar. Go ahead and pour it in a cup there.
How much am I supposed to pour?
You know, just enough to gargle.
Maybe half a thing.
Oh, that is chunk.
Oh, no. Yeah. It splattered a little.
So there you go.
Oh, my God, on my computer.
Okay. That's good enough. That's probably good enough.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll let you pour your own.
Go ahead. Stacey's going to pour her own Are you ready to do it? We're going to gargle extremely hot salsa this morning. And the late celebration for Cinco de Mayo for Torture Tuesday.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Here we go. Cato, get ready. We do have a garbage over there, Justin.
Slide it closer.
We also have a garbage bag on the floor, hopefully, because Cato says it may just spew straight up.
The last time that I tried to gargle mouthwash in front of my sink, it literally hit the ceiling in the mirror.
All right. Let's do it, man.
Let me shut my computer.
Because it might be going all over the studio.
And I got a towel. I do have to work
like
today.
A sprinkler. Here we go. Hot salsa gargle challenge for Torture Tuesday. 3, 2, 1. Knock it out, Cato. Go. Chug.
Gargle. Okay, that hit the ceiling.
His eyes are watering.
Let me take a towel.
Oh, that's funny.
Crap.
All right, I'm going to do it again.
Go. Chug. Oh, that's great. All right.
As soon as that chunk hits my hangy thingy.
Yeah, that's torture right there. A big old lump of tomato hits you hangy thingy.
Oh, it's hot.
Oh. Yeah. Do you have water over there just to cool it off a little bit? If you join us, Cato just gargled hot salsa for Torture Tuesday.
I tried. Yeah. Am I done?
Yeah, go ahead. We'll let Stacy in.
I think Cato had his it covered.
Okay. It's all over.
Here we go. Wait, hold on. Hold on. Ready?
I was just going to eat it.
Now, hold on. Do you like hot salsa?
Yeah, I do. All right, Cato. I did say that I would help out.
Okay, but he pushed that garbage over towards her now. Here we go. Hot salsa.
You have to gargle it.
Okay. Yeah, okay. 3, 2, 1. Chug, Stacy. Chug. Chug.
Oh! Oh, my. That was worse than Cato's.
Honestly,
I got it on the floor.
That is disgusting. Ouchie. What you did. Way more disgusting than what Cato did.
Cato is right.
That was
when
disgusting.
The chunk hits the back of your throat.
That's called your uvula. You should have got like.
Oh my god.
I hope you can slow motion that. Oh, my goodness. That was disgusting.
We're going to need to bag under her. Did you hear what she said as
what?
She was choking?
Did you? Did you really?
A little bit.
Oh, no. Oh my God.
I'm not sure I understand the relationship between gargling and peeing.
Yeah. Well, it's so hot.
It's the pressure.
Yeah.
The pressure.
Yeah. Okay. I don't even think I need to do it now.
Yeah, I don't want you doing it near me. I can assure you that.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. It's all on my laptop.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'll clean it up.
You know what? You did great.
She had a chunk come this way.
I saw it, man. We got it on video. There was stuff flying everywhere.
Now, that's a fun Cinco de Mayo game for you. You can gargle salsa if you want to. Hot salsa.
So it's at your turn, Tom. Melissa Rosbaugh.
Uh-huh.
I signed up. I'm the cameraman for this one, baby.
Did you at least bring some chips in so we can enjoy?
I got some bubble fruit in
that's
the chaser.
That's fine.
That's a chaser, but not a dip.
That was
I want a dip for the rest of the salsa.
I know. We need some chips.
Yes.
I would do that.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. I'll do mine after the break here.
So you're going to do it?
I'll go ahead and do it here in a second.
Go over there.
I still got a chunk.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
That's right. We are actually using up some of the hot, extremely hot salsa from our Cinco de Mayo party. It's my turn to go ahead and try to gargle with hot salsa this morning.
Yeah, we got a text that said, do not let Hawk back out.
Okay, I'll do it.
Do it.
I'll
do it. Do it.
Okay.
Hawk is going to go ahead and gargle hot salsa. He's going to see if he can do a better job than Stacy or Cato have done so far. You may need a little more than that.
I think I'll get it all in there. Ready?
It's 3, 2, 1. Like I said.
Oh, yeah.
You win.
Woo! Woo, that's hot.
My mouth is still burning.
Anticlimactic.
Oh, sorry. Woo! What did you expect me to do?
I don't know. At least fill your mouth up.
Well, I did do that. Woo!
That is some talent. You can gargle chunky salsa. Chunky hot salsa.
Oh, boy, my sinuses are open now. Hey, okay.
I'm draining.
Kato's got the hangy thingy. Ooh, my eyes are watering, and Stacy just spewed it like a big sprinkler on the front yard.
You guys just have sensitive uvulas.
You really do.
Yes.
Can you have it removed? That's something you can have removed.
I think it's part of what makes sure that you close the windpipe whenever you swallow.
Oh, it closes.
That's Torch Tuesday this week here on the Hawk and Tom Show.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.